This is KTWHLP from Two Harbours. I'm Fred Ashmore, visiting beautiful blue sky, friendly people, great place to visit.
9 o'clock, and let's get to what's happening. In just a minute, we'll have Matt Huddleston on the line with me talking about what's going on in Lake County, followed by Kenny's weather tidbits right around 9:20. So stay tuned. It's 9 o'clock and you're listening to What's Happening on KTWH. With me on the phone is Matt Huddleston. He is the Lake County Administrator and a regular on the radio. Thank you so much, Matt, for calling in this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. I know it's been a while and you guys have been busy as always. Let's start with something we've talked about many times. The Boundary Waters funding and how to, what kind of land to consider that and what kind of payments we get for that. So give us an update. I'm so curious to hear.
Yeah, so again, yeah, we've talked about this many times. We do get a lot of funding related to the Boundary Waters from the Ty-Blatnick Act. 0.75% of the total value of the Boundary Waters, it's reappraised every 10 years. That 10 years is up in 2018. And there was a projected $1.3 million decrease in funding we were potentially going to see for a 10-year period. And we pushed back regarding that appraisal, and the federal government and the Forest Service decided to initiate a new appraisal and throw that one out. And it's taken a long time, and I assume COVID had an impact on them moving forward the project. But I'm happy to report that we finally had our first meeting with the new appraiser that they hired. Huh. That just happened here a few weeks ago. So that appraisal is moving forward through this summer, and our hope is that we'll receive a number related to the appraisal by the end of this year or maybe the spring of 2022, which is, it's unfortunate, it doesn't help us with our budget planning and setting the levy this year. So unfortunately we won't have it, but I guess the good news is moving forward, and hopefully we'll find out, you know, in the relatively near future.
Yeah, right. So nothing moves terribly fast. We've been cautioned about that before. So I think, like you said, it's good to hear that this is moving forward, and there will be an answer at some point. And it sounds like the process of reexamining it, at least, is well underway, and that's maybe what was considered the important thing.
Yeah. So finally moving forward. Seeing some progress.
All right, great. All right, now tell us a little bit about the American Rescue Plan funding. That's maybe a new thing.
Yeah, so we ended up getting some CARES funding, different funding from the federal government related to the COVID and issues related to it, and that came with a real short time frame, and we had to spend a lot of money, and it was pretty hectic without a lot of guidance from the state and federal government. And now there's another round called the American Rescue Plan where Lake County and one part of it, counties, are receiving funding, and we're slotted to receive $2 million, just a little over $2 million. And we have received our first half payment, so just over $1 million has been received, and we'll get the other half. It'll at least be a year before we get the other half of the funding. And so this funding comes with a longer time frame to utilize, so we have till December 31st, 2024, and I would say right now we're still just in the process of examining the uses and how we can utilize the funding, and just paying attention to the guidance and revised guidance that continues to come out. I know some counties, I learned last week, are moving forward with certain projects and spending some of the dollars. A lot of counties are still just examining what they're looking to do. And some of the things that you can utilize the funding for, or the main buckets, are supporting the public health response to COVID, addressing negative impacts related to COVID, water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. And then there was this section of if you had revenue loss as an entity, you'd be able to utilize some of the funds that you're receiving for a broader array of provisioning of government services. So our county auditor, Linda, did look into the revenue loss aspect of it. They take your base year of 2019 and compare that to each year up to 2024. And if you show revenue loss in any year, again, it just gives you more flexibility in utilizing those funds. And our first examination of that for comparing to 2020, we don't technically show a revenue loss.
Okay.
And some of that I think is really related to getting reimbursed from some state grants for projects we did. So it just seemed to me like more of a, the way they set it up, more of a timing issue.
Hmm.
It could have just as easily been a different year where we spent more money and didn't get a reimbursement and could have showed a revenue loss. So I don't think it really paints the entire picture of our revenue. It's just the way we had to do it, or the auditor had to do it, and looking at that. So unfortunately, we don't have a broader use of the funds, so we're really back to those buckets. And we've had some initial meetings and looking at things like housing is one of the things you can look at.
Okay.
So we're hoping to pull together the cities and townships and other nonprofits that work on housing. So we might retain a consultant to help educate us on the various things we could possibly do and work with everybody. Because I know a lot of entities have done plans. They know their issues. And so is there something strategically we can do with this infusion of dollars to help our community and our county with housing? So that's one of the things that's kind of at the top and would take probably a number of years to do something. But really take a look at, you know, is there really some really unique things or important things or big things that we could do with these funds?
And yeah.
A lot of other ideas coming up from internally in our department and others that I hear as I go around and talk about it. And I'm just trying to put those in the mix. And we'll, after we did our revenue loss calculation and we know kind of the status of that, we're going to get our committee back together here in the next couple weeks and relook at that list and, I guess, start to set some priorities and buckets of funding to potentially look into.
Yeah. It sounds like it is, the rescue includes COVID, but it's not actually limited to COVID. You were saying there's water potential and other housing, other obvious needs that aren't sort of directly COVID.
Yeah, a lot of it, if you read through the voluminous pages of details on this, a lot of it tries to tie back to the negative impacts of COVID, but it's pretty... Some of those buckets are broad, but there is always, you're having to tie that back in some way. And they kind of lay out some things that are just given. So it's really just trying to work through that and make sure we understand it and make sure we're using it for the intent of the dollars. And we're also trying to utilize it to solve our unique issues. And
If there are ideas that citizens have, is there a way that they can have voice in this also, Matt? Is this something that people could call or email you with their thoughts and ideas?
Certainly people can reach out to me, and I know some nonprofits and organizations that are probably paying more attention to the funding have reached out, and those are getting in the hopper just for the discussion's sake here at the beginning. So if anybody has ideas and they're familiar with the types of things that it could be spent on, certainly I'm open to hearing things. And of course, the one thing we do get a lot is all the entities that sell stuff or sell services that know that they meet that, they're barraging local governments and entities. Hey, you can do this. And, and they're just selling their product. So I understand how that goes. But I'm certainly for people that have ideas and thoughts here locally, I'm open to hearing stuff for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I do think that, we were... We all know that we have been inundated with visitors during COVID, and so I can see why our numbers would. I mean, we've been affected, but not in the same way necessarily as other communities, as far as. But certainly, there was a lot of unemployment, even as there were so many visitors. I mean, it's just such a unique situation.
Hard to
read in a graph anyway. All right, well, let's go on to the 2022 budget process. You say that is underway. Tell us what that looks like.
It's underway. We had our first budget meeting with the county board yesterday, looking at the countywide budget and requests that are in. So we're just kind of at that preliminary stage for the county board review, but, you know, departments have been looking through their budgets over the last month and putting those together. And we're set to have another budget meeting mid-August and then one at the beginning of September, getting things lined up for what we have to approve as the preliminary county levy by the end of September. So, you know, we're working through that process. I think initially the budget looks pretty good. We have a number of different capital-related items, purchases of stuff and things to facilities that we're going to have to look through and maybe determine some priorities. And I would also say a unique thing or something different that we're doing this year with our new facilities director is we're trying to put together a five-year capital improvement plan for our facilities. We do that for our road projects every year. We have a hearing every year. We update our five-year plan. It doesn't always go exactly the way you plan every year, but you set priorities based on what you know at that time. And we're trying to take a broader look at some of our capital needs for our facilities. So we hope to have that done this month and then have kind of a facilities day for the county board to go look at some of these things that our facilities department sees as needs and priorities. And then we can work that into a plan and then look at our funding and determine what we're able to do and when we can do it. So I'm kind of excited to add that to our process on a yearly basis along with our roads.
Yeah. Yeah, and as we as I interview you every few months, it'll be interesting to hear specifically what comes out of that. It's hard, I think, for the average citizen, of which I would say I'm one, to sort of imagine what exactly are you talking about with that? Like what are the big ticket items? But it seems like it's not really worth talking about those until certain ones come to the fore, and then we find out what's getting funded, what's happening.
Yeah, I think that would be a great future topic, and it's not just about building new things as much as it's also just taking care of, you know, the courthouse and things that come along with just maintaining, you know, a building like that.
Yeah, so good for us to hear stuff like that, because it's easy to forget that, you know, what costs money in maintaining and keeping a county going. All right, let's move on to the road and bridge project, not unrelated, but the 8th Street and Stanley Road Bridge. That's a big one. We just announced that this morning that bridge is going to be gone all fall. I don't know what more there is to say about that. That'll take a pretty major detour.
Yeah, so that detour starts, I think, on Monday. And it's just a plug also to say, please sign up for our emergency alerts. You can get that stuff. Just text it to you on your phone. You can find that on our main webpage if you don't have that already. So that's happening. And A Street as well, the work we're doing in town in conjunction with the city of Two Harbors. So there's some county, state aid streets in there and city streets. I think that stuff is on track. Obviously, the drought is not helping in a lot of different ways, but it does help with road projects.
I guess so.
So they're not having many down days.
Right.
So hopefully they'll be on schedule to get the stuff around the school done before the school year starts there. So that's good news on that.
Okay. We only have a couple minutes left, Matt, but I'm hoping you can at least tell us a little bit about the planning and zoning numbers.
I just wanted to put a plug in. It's super busy in planning and zoning. I think we've already taken in $75,000 in fees. That type of number hasn't been seen since 2005. That's when I got with, that's when I started with the county in planning and zoning, and that was busy times. So I think planning and zoning is just saying we're swamped. Just be patient with getting calls in, getting permits in. They're working double, triple time to try to take care of things right now based on the numbers we're having, and I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, and part of that means that real estate is really moving, correct?
Correct.
And then has the city or the county taken a look at the vacation rentals issue? I know this is probably way beyond this interview, but I know that that's something that people are talking about a lot is the development of Airbnbs and the different ways that homes are being used that are being sold in Two Harbors.
Certainly from the county's perspective, you know, we do the zoning for stuff outside the city limits.
Okay.
So I've been involved in that aspect of it for a long time and have updated our ordinances and done ordinances, had public hearings on it even before we got to this level of scrutiny and looking at it. But I think as we look at the housing picture and we try to bring everybody together, I think that topic will be one that comes up again and just continue to look at it and see if there's anything we could or should be doing more than we are as a county.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that, yeah, no, we'll definitely talk about that in the future, although it's good, a reminder that the county is not the city in this case, so anything that's happening in the city of Two Harbors is not your jurisdiction, but still good to know that it's being talked about, and that is definitely a growing issue for everywhere, I think, not just here. All right, Matt, all right, we got one more minute. Do you have anything to tell us about the demolition landfill?
Sorry to take up the time this morning, but I just wanted to point out our demolition landfill is at the end of its life. We do and are considering right now in the budget process expanding that next year. There's a discussion about whether we close and don't have a demo landfill, but we put in for the permit. We got the permit and looking to add a couple new cells to that in 2022. So in discussions on that, and we'll see if that moves forward next year and getting that completed and providing some more capacity for us to deal with our demolition landfill.
Yeah, yeah, without having to drive a fair distance to do it. Good news for anyone working in construction, I'm sure. Thank you so much, Matt. I know that earlier this week there was an interview with the county about COVID, so we won't even touch on that here. But thanks again for all your work, even through the summer, and I'm sure we'll touch base with you again in the fall.
Yes, again, thanks for having me, and look forward to coming back to talk about more of these things.
Yep, that's awesome. All right, you take care. Have a great summer.
You too.
That was Matt Huddleston. He is the Lake County Administrator, and he checks in with the radio every few months. So stay tuned to KTWH to find out what is going on in your local area. That wraps up this part of what's happening, and stay tuned. In just a few minutes, we'll have Kenny Blumenfeld on the line with Weather Tidbits. It's 9:19 here on KTWH. You're listening to What's Happening, and Kenny Blumenfeld is on the phone with me from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Thank you so much, Kenny, for calling in as usual.
Yeah, always good to talk to you.
Yes. Well, we've been discussing drought all summer, and I'm happy to report we did have, at least in the town of Two Harbors, we had a fairly hard rain. It rained hard and then it rained soft, and this was all Thursday morning. So not that it has alleviated the drought, but we have had some rain. I just wanted to report that news to you.
You're very lucky. We in St. Paul, my rain gauge recorded exactly 1-4 inches of precipitation, and that was it. That was from some thunderstorms yesterday, and that's all I've had.
Oh, that's not much.
Yeah, that's all I've had in the last 10 days or so, and it's pretty bad statewide. So what's happening now is people are celebrating when they win the thunderstorm lottery.
Yeah. I guess that's right.
Yeah, they get their half inch of rain, and, you know, they've got stuff and no one else has it. And, you know, they're maybe, I don't know. So with your rains on Thursday, did any sign of things kind of springing to life?
Yeah, you know, where we live, it's just, I don't think it's as bad as it is elsewhere, because the grass is still green part of the time. Like, some grass is sort of yellow, but most of the grass is green. And, you know, flowers are growing and look good. I don't see a lot of watering out there. I think we just have been lucky. And I know that, you know, the farmers nearby often don't get the rain we get. Maybe we've just been a little bit of in a hub this morning. I don't know. But things are looking okay in Two Harbors.
Many places in Minnesota that can say that. I'm serious. And it's all kind of hugging the eastern border. So, and that would include Two Harbors. The area around Lake Superior, in pieces, parts of it, have done okay. If you go up into Cook County, though, I don't know if you saw the new drought monitor map, but they got hoisted into the extreme category of drought. So that D3 level. And that's because of prolonged precipitation shortages. So careful how much you boast about that rainfall.
People
come looking for your water.
I know. Well, maybe I'll just be quiet about that. But I will add that, you know, we also had, as everyone did, but a pretty intense haze, smoke, just really unprecedented, you know, orange sky kind of thing happening here, too. I think it's been alleviated for the time being. But do we have any idea how those fires are playing out? And is there a long-term end in sight, or is this just a little reprieve?
Yeah, no, the only reason that the smoke is leaving the state currently is because the winds are shifting. And every time the winds blow and a kind of a long fetch, so by fetch we just mean traveling sort of a long distance. Every time they come from the north or northwest at a fairly long distance, they're going to transport in some of that smoke. I think that, you know, there might not be as much around for the next several days as we get into a pattern with more easterly winds, especially in the near the lake.
Right.
Winds kind of coming off of the lake. You might be a little cooler, a little bit less stormy than some other parts of the area. But, so maybe you won't see as much smoke. But the way we're looking at it right now, until those fires go out, there is an arc of burning fires from south central Ontario, right across basically the southern fifth or sixth of Canada, all the way to British Columbia.
Yeah.
It's not constant. It's not, you know, a constant line of fire, but, you know, you can go through the forested areas and, you know, every 50, 100 miles or so, there seems to be another fire or a cluster of fires. And so, and they're big, some of them are big. And so when we get those northwesterly winds, until those fires either burn themselves out or get put out by the rain, or maybe there's some fire suppression happening too, we're just going to keep seeing smoke. There's also, it's just been a very active year fire-wise. There's been a lot in the U.S. and in Canada, so I think we have a little more smoke around. Just, you know, picture if you have a really, really big bonfire, you know, there's more smoke from it when you start putting it out. So even... You know, even as we get into the next month or so, unless those rains really come and suppress these fires significantly, I would expect a smoky end to summer too, anytime that it's not hot.
Yeah. Well, and it is just kind of, it's not even the end of this fire season. I mean, it's kind of the beginning of the regular fire season, right?
Yes, that is correct. And I'm not a qualified forester to talk too much about fire behavior, but I am just smart enough to know that, yeah, it's really September and October here in Minnesota. And really late September, after the photosynthesis kind of shuts down and the plants stop carrying water through them, through their systems. And that's generally right around the fall equinox, things start shutting down across the state. And that's when we move into our fire weather season. So hopefully we won't have a big one. Hopefully we'll get a lot of, a lot of rain to kind of damp things up. And
counteract it.
Yeah.
And do you see, I know there's some rain in the forecast. What do you see in the short and long term coming up here?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's another lottery is up for northeast Minnesota for this weekend. We've got a big weather system that's going to be pushing eastward across southern Minnesota this kind of later this weekend, especially Saturday and into Sunday. And the circulation of that could produce some pretty beneficial rains. We don't know exactly where these are going to line up. And again, it's not everybody, but this is kind of a lollygagging weather system. It's going to produce some thunderstorms on Saturday morning, some more on Saturday evening, and then even more after that, parts of Sunday. And there's some signs. They're not smoking gun signs, but there's some signs that you could actually get some pretty repetitive thunderstorms somewhere, you know, within 100 miles, 75 miles of Duluth, and that would include Two Harbors. I'd say you're kind of on the northern end of where we might see those, but it is possible. One of the computer forecast models had a almost continuous band of heavy precipitation anchoring itself kind of between Duluth and Two Harbors on Sunday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Now, before we get all excited and start saying, you know, let's just remember this is one of many forecast scenarios in a pattern that has generally led to less precipitation than forecast. So big chunk of salt with that one. All I'm saying is, you know, we got some shots this weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if parts of Minnesota get over an inch of precipitation from thunderstorms, and if a couple small areas receive significantly more than an inch of precipitation, and those areas seem most likely to be kind of hugging the border area of Minnesota and Lake Superior, Minnesota and Wisconsin, and so that includes you guys.
Yeah. So that's helpful to know, and heat-wise, it seems like we're not into the terrible, terrible heat, but that it's still, you know, above normal heat, right, for right this time of year. I know we're looking at east winds in Two Harbors this coming week, which will cool it down at least somewhat, although the water's also really warm. So is that an accurate assessment? So it's you don't see any big cool-down coming that would help us out?
Not necessarily before we talk again.
Yeah, okay.
I would say that everything that we're seeing from the longer range models indicate kind of a warm, but not necessarily piping hot week and, you know, coming up. So noon-style heat waves, but maybe a couple hot days in there. Nothing too outrageous, though. I think you got it right. I would expect the easterly winds to back off by the time we get into the middle of the week, though.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Kenny. We're out of time, as we happens really quickly around here, but it's been nice to hear from you again, and good to hear that maybe we'll get some more rain, and thank you for also helping us appreciate our blessings of the rain we've already had.
Good luck. May it rain and appreciate what you get, because we're in a time of deprivation indeed.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again, Kenny.
Okay. Thanks, Katya.
Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld. He is the senior climatologist at the Minnesota DNR, and that wraps up What's Happening. Thanks for listening to KTWH LP 99.5 FM, Two Harbors, Minnesota, where it is a sunny 70 degrees. And 68 degrees. Thanks again for listening.